Greetings, everyone. I'm excited to welcome Litan Yahav, co-founder and CEO of Vizor. Litan, welcome to the show.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Yeah, great to have you here. So let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about your background.
All right. So from a founder's perspective, I guess I'm on the older side. I'm 41. I'm married. I have three kids. And I was born in the U.S., but when I was a kid, we moved to Israel, and I've been in Israel ever since. Served in the Navy, Israeli Navy, for 6 years. And then went to school, studied law and business, founded a startup about 12 years ago. Not SaaS, unfortunately, but about 12 years ago in a crazy diamond industry. We built hardware and software photographing diamonds in 3D for trading purposes. And then that scaled, and we sold that company back in 2015. Stayed on for a few more years during the earn-out period in 2018. And overall, since 2015, for the past 8 years, been investing passively. Me and my co-founder passively invest a lot of, you know, private equity, startups, real estate, crypto, US, Europe, all over. At some point, that became a mess. These are good problems to have, right? But still, for us, like, issues. And we built ourselves a platform to automate the whole process of automating and tracking our wealth. And then that spun out to be a whole new startup, which is Vizor, as you mentioned, which we founded it exactly 3 years ago. And that's a SaaS play. And so we can dive into that, whatever aspects you think would be interesting.
Yeah, no, appreciate that background and intro. So yeah, let's talk about Vizor. Yeah, tell us a little bit about the products and services that Vizor offers.
So as I mentioned, this was built for us, right? So for us, it was like, I get an email from this investment I made 6 months ago. Wow, crap, when did I invest with this person? How much did I invest? And is this money that's coming in supposed to be coming in or not, or more or less? And then so the idea was sort of give a family office approach. And a family office, for those who don't know, is this team that if you're a multi-millionaire, billionaire, you have a team that helps you manage your money. But if you have enough wealth to have this complexity, but not enough to have that family office, you're basically stuck. You're building crazy spreadsheets, going and reconciling all your transactions in your bank accounts, just trying to understand like what your finances look like, what they are, not talking about tax season, which are a whole nightmare on its own. And so Vizor, we try to automate as much of that administrative process as possible and add insights on top of that. So for example, that email that you get from a fund I invested with, Vizor will be CC'd for all four of that email to Vizor. Vizor will link into all my bank accounts and track all the transactions in my banks and link transactions to specific assets. Sort of automatically categorizing cash flow distributions, rental income, my cost of living, like everything is basically automated, and then projecting future situations. Things go as planned, how will that look in the future? And then I could add scenarios on top of that. So it's just like giving this holistic financial, not just private stuff, but also public stuff as well. Just giving me a holistic approach to managing my wealth. And again, many people say, wait, there are all these budgeting apps out there. And, you know, Mint, rest in peace, which was closed like a few weeks ago, did a really good job at, you know, showing me my budgeting and where my expenses are and maybe high level net worth. Once you're someone more like me that has a lot of private investments as well, that just doesn't cut it. And I have to build a crazy spreadsheet. So the idea is to laser focus on people that are in this segment that have enough wealth to have the complexity, not enough to have their own family office, and give full automation from a client perspective on everything end to end from an administrative standpoint.
Okay. So this is not, say, for your average investor who can just go to fidelity.com and say, invest in some sort of securities. You know, this would be more of the administration and reporting and tracking of all your investments, whether private or public.
Exactly. And I think the emphasis is on the private, just because the privates usually don't take up a big portion of your portfolio, maybe 15, 20%. But it's like Pareto, it's 80% of the time managing that. The documents coming in, emails, cash, it just becomes a mess. And to be honest, financial advisors, you know, traditional wealth managers, they don't want to deal with people like me. They want to deal with people that, you know, predominantly have public portfolio, you know, balancing it 60, 40, 70, 30, whatever it is, maybe adding a 401k, maybe a feeder fund into like a big private equity firm, whatever, but it's not built for people that have, you know, privates. So yeah, Fidelity is good. But and the second thing is Fidelity, Schwab, you know, all the bank portals. These are all like financial institution portals. They are very incentivized for you to put more money with them. So even if, you know, Fidelity tomorrow builds a platform for aggregating everything, they're going to be incentivized for you to, hey, give me more money, put more money in your IRA account in Fidelity, or you should put more money in a brokerage account in Fidelity. So I'm not, I think it's a bad thing. Like that's what business is, right? But it's just a different value proposition, different in, you know, interests.
Yeah, interesting. And of course, with every SaaS product, we talk ICP, our ideal customer profile. So who's a good customer for Vizor?
That's a great question. So the ICP when we started and the ICP today has changed. So when we started, it's really hard to put a net worth badge on our ICP. But when we thought about it, we said people between 1 million net worth and 20 million net worth, which is a relatively large spectrum, but that's like what we were focusing on people that, you know, above the age of 35, 40. But then we also have people under 60 and at least 5 private investments. And that's like when how we sort of defined it at the beginning. But that's changed because since we launched this product the beginning of the year, sort of beginning of 23, end of 22, we've had clients with hundreds of millions join us and clients with hundreds of thousands join us. And people that have a ton of private investment, but also people that have a little amount of private investments. And we've had people above 60 and below 35. So it's like, we're still trying to, you know, nail it down exactly who is the person who gets the most value from the product and focus on that segment. So our ICP still is someone that has privates. If they don't have privates, they probably won't get enough value from Vizor. And they probably need to have some wealth because if you don't have at least 4 or 5, it is still more valuable when you do. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense because if you say you just have all public investments, you can go to those big banks, financial institutions. But if you have private investments, it sounds like, just like naming ARR thresholds for SaaS companies, you know, well, should I do this at 10 million, 3 million? Well, it's hard to say, you know, it depends. So yeah, totally get what you're saying. And so for this, is this a self-service onboarding? They come to your site, enter a credit card and just start using it? Or do you have to educate them a little bit to get going on the product?
That's a great question. So when we started, we went through the superhuman model, right? We said, you want to join? All right, hop on a 30-minute Zoom call and let's get to know you. And then we scratched that and focused more on a self-serve onboarding process, which you've iterated over the past few months again and again. But overall, it's a freemium model now. So there's a free version. Then there's 3 pricing tiers. All of them are self-serve, but our team is like super, you know, available with a white glove approach. If a client wants to hop on a Zoom call, we'll hop on a Zoom call quick. They need like quick responses. We're there to support them, but they can do everything on their own. They do not need to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And all right. And is this for global investors in certain countries?
We're focused on the US market, but we have clients from around the world. I think 98% of our clients are the US mm-hmm. and then 2% around the world. And we're just focused on the US because of integrations, which are a lot better to financial institutions, because the language, the investment strategy tends to be more similar than it is for people abroad. So I mean, we're really focused now. Like our big vision is to be globally focused and, you know, the product will adapt to that, but at the moment, we're really focused on the US market.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. And so you said you founded the company or started about 3 years ago. So it was about 2020 that you founded Vizor?
We ended 2020. Yes.
Okay. Ended 2020. And when did you launch the first product that someone could sign up for?
So we did a quiet launch in September of 22 and then public launch sort of December of 22. So less than a year ago.
Okay. So just recently. So that time from starting the company late 2020, was the product build, prospect interviews? What was happening during that time?
Yeah. So we were in beta for like a year, even more. You know, iterating with clients, with beta users and testers, iterating the segment, the ICP and the you know, product core functionality. It's a very complex product that we're going to constantly be building over the next few years, but we wanted to get it out there already. So we have clients already using it. Even now, like there's still a lot of places for us to improve, but we already have clients paying us and using it and giving us feedback, and we're iterating and building more functionality to serve those clients. But yeah, so before 2022, we were in beta for like a year, maybe a little more than a year. And then we decided to launch at the end of the year because even though we didn't feel the product was 100% ready, we said, screw this. We need to be out there. We need to start charging because that's like when you really test the product market fit. We start to take money.
Yeah. Don't worry. You'll never be perfect, right? And so do you have a company headquarters? Are you located anywhere?
Yeah. So we have offices in Israel and offices in the US. In the US, we're more remote. In Israel, we're more located in one location. But as I mentioned, you know, we are focused on the US market, so we do have plans to expand here more.
Okay. And what's your current team size?
So right now we're 15 people.
All right. And anything you want to disclose around ARR, are you pre-revenue? Are you generating revenue?
Yeah, we're at initial revenue, but we're growing nicely and iterating on. So as I mentioned, like when we launched like a little under a year ago, we had one pricing tier and then we've iterated on that over the past year. And so when we started, it was just a flat fee. There was no, you know, you couldn't try it yet. If you wanted to try it, you had to start a trial, a 30-day trial with a credit card, which created, you know, friction and a barrier. And then in July, a few months ago, we changed that to the freemium model with the tiers, a higher model, a higher pricing tier, a lower pricing tier, and a free one. And then we've just recently, we changed the higher pricing model to be different. So we feel like we're in the sweet spot of where we want to be. And so from this point on, we do expect the revenue to grow exponentially more than it did over the past, you know, 11 months.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And tell us a little bit about your go-to-market motion. How are you finding customers? Because this seems like it could be a really wide audience that you're after. You know, we talked about your ICP and it could be low net worth, high net worth. So how are you finding those initial prospects?
About 50% of our signups are from online acquisition, Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, retargeting campaigns, stuff like that. And, you know, constantly tweaking the messaging. Because, you know, the core value of what we provide is for people that have privates, right? And so that's sort of where our messaging is really focused. And there might be people that have, you know, a large amount of privates with higher net worth or lower net worth. And so we're agnostic to the net worth. We're more, you know, focused on that element of the ICP. And so there's online acquisition. And then we have affiliate marketing. So we have affiliates that we work with on a paper sign up and paper paying client, which has been amazing. So it's like a win-win with, you know, these financial news writers or bloggers, you know, these influencers on social media. And so that's been working really well. We create a lot of content. I'm on a lot of podcasts and we do a lot of like our blog post articles for SEO. And we have partners as well. So investor communities and investor and funds. So investment funds and GPs, general partners of these funds. So we work with them to provide more value to their members or their investors. So, you know, they get a discount for user advisor. And then we have these elements in the product that help give them, you know, side value as it, because we have this community benchmarking aspect to our product where our clients see where other people are investing. That creates a synergy with these funds. And so those are the main approaches that have been working. And we also started to sponsor events for this types of these investor communities and other, you know, investor events overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, appreciate that insight. So a couple different approaches there. And let's talk about fundraising now. So how much capital have you raised to date for Visor?
We've raised $6.3 million up to now. And we're currently in the midst of an extension because a lot of our clients have asked to invest. And so we went to our board and we decided let's open an extension for our seed round from last year, $1 million, so that we can give them the opportunity to join, you know, Visor's success, not just as clients using it, but also stakeholders. So that when this explodes, they also get, you know, an upside. So we'll probably reach 7.3 and then we're going to probably go out to raise an A round. I don't even know the numbers or letters anymore, but the next round, probably early 25.
We're okay. So 6.3 raised, now raising an extension. So maybe up to 7.3. And then tell us about that initial raise of the 6.3. What triggers or milestones led you to that seed round raise?
You know, we had this product, we had a bunch of beta users using it, giving us a lot of feedback, a lot of potential to grow and sort of monetize on that. And at that point we said, all right, let's raise more money. We also needed to, you know, because we're at a point, it was in two rounds, right? So we did a pre-seed round and then we did a seed round. And we came up with the PR about all that only a few months ago because we've had a client ask us, wait, are you guys VC backed? You know, for credibility standpoint, it's all right. We need some PR around Visor. People search for Visor. It's not just the platform. It's also, all right, this is a credible company. It's backed by, you know, reputable angel investors and VCs. They're going to be here for the long run. It's not like we're sort of onboarding all this financial information and they're going to go flop. So it's really important for us to get out to the market with that news. And that's why, yeah, I think when we reached out initially, it was that there was a PR on 6.3 million raise and that's what that was about. And so we've raised money to
build the operations, the team, the product, the marketing. And now we're this $1 million extension is to add on to that and give more runway and also, you know, continue to market and develop the product. And then we're going to go out to a more substantial round when you have more substantial ARR and paying clients.
Okay. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And then for other founders who are kind of in a similar stage where they've had an idea, maybe they're starting to develop product, thinking about a pre-seed or seed round, any lessons learned that you learned in that seed round process?
It's hard to raise money. For the most of us, it's hard. We always hear about, you know, these super successful founders that get money thrown on them all over, but that's like such a minority, such a small, we can't depend on that. So yeah, you know, when I go out to fundraise, it's sort of, at least when I did last, was the last round, it was like, all right, in order for me to stay sane in this process, because a lot of people are going to say no, right? I want to focus on getting a lot of people to say no. I want 50 people a day to say no. And that way, all right, I'm prepared. I'm going to pitch this the best I can, but I'm prepared to get a lot of rejection. But how do I learn the most from that process as possible during this rejection process? And for me, at the end of every meeting, Zoom call, whatever it would be, and I had a good friend who gave me this recommendation, I asked the investors, all right, I want to know what you liked and didn't like about what we're doing, what I presented. Because it's really important for me to know, right? And then, you know, a lot of people say, no, I need some time to think about it. Just give me like, what's your gut feeling? So it helps sort of for me to understand like feedback on that process. It gives them a minute to like, all right, gather their thoughts. Like, what are the highlights, the things I liked and didn't like from this? And then it helps you get better for the next pitch. And maybe even, you know, refocus what the company is aiming at. So I think those are really like good lessons that I learned that I think helped for other founders.
Yeah, appreciate that. Great insight. Yeah, ask the investor what you like, didn't like, just that gut reaction can be really helpful. And at this stage of your SaaS business, do you have a favorite number or metric that you're focused on to guide the business?
Yeah. I mean, it's what everyone cares about, you know, money talks. I need to reach substantial MRR ARR and show that there's growth at a unit of economics that makes sense. So those are the metrics I look on. There's another metric I've been starting to look on more now, and that's sort of, you know, time to return on investment, TROI, which we're doubling down on that to reduce it to as small a number as possible, right? That's how long does it take me to pay back the cost of acquisition of that cohort? That's been something we've been doubling down more on lately.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate that. Yeah. ARR, MRR, definitely a popular metric that founders are focused on. So Nita, you know, really appreciate your time today and sharing your experience. So tell us what's coming up next for Vizor.
We're going to take over the world. No, I'm joking. I mean, next is continue to grow at a unit economic that makes sense. Add more functionality to our product. Focus more on who the ICP is and then target more of those people. And, you know, add more and more clients, functionality. Like our you know, long-term goal is to become the largest family office in the world. Not just serving billionaires, but serving everyone that's relevant for a product like this. Anyone who touches privates. And there's a lot, we have a long way to go to reach that goal, but you know, there's stepping stones to reach it.
And I'm curious, say family offices, is there software dedicated to family offices to manage this? Or are they just also say doing paper and just compiling their own system? Is it a mix for family offices?
There are a few players in the market that are offering specific solutions for family office, for tier one wealth management firms. They're extremely costly, but they're also focused on professional financial people. There's a big difference between selling and even serving a financial professional versus serving someone like me.
Yeah.
Right. And we have family offices reach out to us. We have family offices that are clients of ours. And we are adding more functionality to serve them, but that's not our core. Like that's not what we're focused on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Appreciate that clarification. So really appreciate your time and sharing your experience today. If listeners would like to learn more about Vizor, where should we send them online?
Well, I mean, the website is vyzer.co. It's a bad URL, but that's what it is. VYZER. And I'm happy also to, you know, engage with anyone who's interested in what we do and, you know, passive or private investing, just like, 'cause I love passive investing. So you can reach out to me, Litan@advisor.co, or Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever it is.
All right, perfect. Well, check out visor.co or reach out to Litan at litan@visor.co for more info. And then really appreciate your time today and sharing your experiences.
Thanks a lot. This was fun, Ben. Thanks for having me.